listener production.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Why am I jealous of my ex?
I am so stressed all the time.
How do I get into a routine?
Is TikTok making me anxious?
I think I'm being manipulated.
Someone told me you could live with half a brain.
This is Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life, hosted by me, Alexis Fernandez.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the episode of today. Now, this is an episode that I'm actually really, really excited to bring to you because it is something that I think so many of us have experienced, definitely myself, especially when I was younger. And it's something that's really prevalent in like pop culture and films, and it kind of really normalizes this feeling of limerence, which is what I'm talking about, as being love. So we're going to be breaking down the difference between limerence versus love, what limerence feels like, how it can be so intense, where it can differ from love. And you can also understand how you can have a lot of limerent behaviors, but it actually end up being love, or it can just be straight up limerence, and why it's so difficult to deal with it when you know, the relationship doesn't unfold the way you want it to unfold. And when you are experiencing limerence to someone who does not reciprocate the feelings, and why it is so difficult to get over it. I recently did an interview. I interviewed Sabrina Zoha on my podcast, and she made a comment about limerence and people feeling limerence when, you know, you go on one really good date and the other person doesn't reciprocate. They don't really like feel it, or they kind of feel it, but they kind of taper off and, you know, end up disappearing. And you're just like, but how do I get rid of this feeling? I've never met anyone like this. It's the most perfect thing in the world. And that's kind of limerence. And so many of us have experienced that. And it's really unpleasant. It's just not a good time. So let's talk about limerence. What is it? How to identify it? How it differs from love? And what to do to help you move past these feelings, okay? So the first thing we're going to talk about, dun, 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 is what is limerence? As a definition. So it is the experience of having an uncontrollable desire for someone. It is an obsession that consumes the limerent person's thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. So if you're experiencing limerence, you're the limerent person, and then the person that you're obsessing over is the limerent object, or the LO. So if you're reading up articles, you might see it being described as the LO, limerent object, okay? That's the person. It's a deep infatuation, and it can, not for everyone, but it can feel like desperation. So I'm going to give you a whole bunch of things that you might be feeling if you have experienced limerence, okay? And you might be someone who's listening to this being like, yep, yep, tick, 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 tick. I'm going to tell you a fun fact of how I was a psychopathic limerent person in high school, but I'll tell you that a bit later. So your day starts thinking of them, and the day ends thinking of them. You're thinking about them all the time. You go onto their social media pages repeatedly to look over images that you've already seen over and over again. You read over text messages, even if they're extremely mundane, just to be like, just to revisit that. And you do this kind of thing repeatedly. You look into anything as a hint that they might feel the same way. Oh, they put an exclamation mark. There was one kiss at the end of that. Oh my God, you know, one like X at the end of that text. You look to see if they've watched your story, but in a really compulsive way. I think a lot of people kind of will like flick up and look at who's viewed their stories, but this is more like you're checking, 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 checking that they've viewed your stories. And when they have viewed your stories, it's like, oh my God, they must, you know, they must like me because they're viewing my stories, which is a while. I used to think, oh my God, if this person's viewing my stories, they must like me. And that would be enough to like carry me over for the next couple of days or a week. But now I think about it, I'm like, there are so many people that I'm obviously in a relationship now, very happy. But even when I was single, there's so many people that I was not remotely attracted to, and I would view their stories. Does that mean that they're thinking that I'm into them? It's just wild how I would, yeah, whatever. If you are dating this person, or if you're seeing each other, you hide certain aspects of yourself that you think that they might not like, such as interests or hobbies that you have that you might think, oh, that's going to put me in a bad light, or it's embarrassing, or whatever. You try and make yourself the perfect match for them instead of seeing if you're a good fit for each other, being naturally who you are. you are regularly seeking validation from them. And by validation, it's not that you're going to them asking, do you like me? Do this, do that. If anything, you're probably doing less of that, but you're seeking validation just by looking at their behaviors and trying to get validation from their behaviors. Like, have they replied to the text? What was the reply like? Again, did they watch my stories? Have they flame reacted on this thing? If I put a thirst trap on my Instagram, have they, you know, bitten the bait? All these things that could suggest that this person likes you, and then that would then turn into feelings of validation. You can read into any minor sign of attention that they give you, and that feeds this feeling for even longer. Your happiness and your emotions depend on getting positive reactions from this person. And if that doesn't happen, it can cause a downward spiral of emotions for you in other areas of your life as well. So you could actually be in a low mood throughout your entire, every, like at work, with your friends. Your mind is foggy because you're thinking about, oh, they haven't replied and it's been days and they haven't replied. And I, you know, that feeling of like it's overwhelm. You put this person on a pedestal. You feel awkward or shy around them. This is a huge one. Feelings of euphoria when you think of them and when you think of being with them. Crazy fear of being rejected so often that you will veer away from behaviors that could cause conflict, like telling them that they're wrong about something, disagreeing with them on big or small things, pretending that you're okay with certain behaviors that normally would be crossing a boundary for you or normally would be a deal breaker, pretending that you like the same thing that they do just so you're like appeasing to them. It's hard to find anything else in your life as exciting as this person or as exciting as thinking about this person. So even things that are normally really exciting for you, like a vacation or this dinner with some friends, it's just not as exciting now as thinking of this person. This person has taken over your mind. You are like fully so like consumed by this person and your feelings towards this person. You are then in denial of it not progressing into a proper relationship. So, for example, you could be in a situationship phase for months and months and make all the excuses under the sun for this person as to why it's not developing into, you know, the relationship that you want it to develop into, which could be like a monogamous committed relationship. But you also don't want to confront them about it because you don't want to rock the boat of where this situationship or where the relationship is at. You are terrified that anything will go wrong. So you're like, well, if they haven't instigated a relationship, it's probably because, and that you make up all these excuses and all these reasons, but I'm not going to instigate it because I don't want to push them and I don't want to get them annoyed and I don't want to push them away. I don't want to be Twitter. So you just kind of, you would just be in basic denial because the relationship's not progressing, but you've got every reason under the sun why it hasn't progressed. And when people ask you like, but what's actually happening? It's been a long time. You'll have every answer for that. But you've actually never discussed it with this person. It feels like no other love or romance that you've felt in the past. It's a feeling that you can't get enough of them. You want to talk to other people about them all the time. Like it's really hard not to bring this person up or this encounter with this person up. And it kind of takes over most aspects of your life and a lot of your awareness and your attention, okay? Now, it's not to say that if you have experienced limerence before, you're going to feel all these things, but these are all a whole bunch of really, really common things that people report feeling when they are experiencing limerence or when they have a limerent object in mind. So if you kind of were like, yes, to a whole bunch of those things, maybe this podcast episode is for you. Now, how can you tell the difference between true love and limerence? Because there is a difference. So falling in love with someone, really falling in love with someone, a big part of that is getting to know them and them getting to know you, okay? It is learning about that person and learning how to be yourself around that person and learning how you can come together as two authentic individuals, putting up with the good, putting up with the bad, working together on the things that you can work on. And while you're going through that process, you feeling yourself really, you can still have certain feelings of like what I expressed and you can still think about them all the time. You can still think about it the first thing in the morning. You can still adore them, but you're very much yourself. If you disagree with something, you're able to disagree with them. It's not all consuming either. Like you can be absolutely in love with somebody, but then you can also have excitement in other areas of your day. You don't read into every tiny, tiny thing that this person does because you understand the bigger picture of who they are. You really know this person and you're able to look at their flaws and be like, that's a flaw, but I'm willing to put up with it. Or, you know, this is something that we've both discussed and we're both willing to work towards this thing together. So that's kind of the difference. You're working to get closer together. It has to do with you as much as it has to do with them. You can both be real and honest with where you're at. You can disagree. You can have arguments, but there's a deep enough connection and you can both thrive in that kind of environment. It can also be exciting. It can be romantic. It can be all of the above. But the key elements of falling in love is that you're both honest and open and transparent and you get to know each other properly. So then you can actually make a judgment call on how compatible you are, because love for a real proper relationship, love in and of itself is not enough for a relationship to succeed, okay? You need other aspects of compatibility in order for the relationship to have longevity. You could both adore each other, but your morals are completely way off and it's going to cause massive, 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 you know, divides and massive issues later on. So it's eventually going to be a bit of a deal breaker. So you've got to look at love. And then you've got to look at all these other components of compatibility, and everyone's idea of compatibility is very different. So it's personal. And then you're like, is this person a really good match for me? And am I feeling romantically connected to them as well? That is falling in love. And I'm sure a lot of us have experienced that. Limerence is very heavily based on your hopes and dreams of who this person could be or what this relationship could be. It's this ideal image. This person is perfection. Right? They are elite. They are cream of the crop. Okay. And this is why it really, really often happens with people that you only know on a surface level or that you've only met a handful of times. So what I mean by surface level is that you could have this limerence, like adoration for someone at work, and you might have like worked with them for years, but you only know one aspect of who that person is. And the rest of who that person is, you've created in your head, whether you realize it or not. So you might know like they smile, they talk to you. One day they might have a little bit longer conversation. One day they might ask you about your weekend. You see them once at like social drinks for work and you just see them interact with other people. And you're like, I know this person. I've worked with them for years. You don't know this person. You have been exposed to aspects of this person, but to know someone is very different than to be acquainted with someone. So a lot of the time we'll feel this crazy obsession when we know someone at that level, or when we've gone on one date, you know, we met on a dating app, we've chatted, texted back and forth, then we go on a date, and then I'm like, I'm done. I'm sold. This person is it. It's the one. It's the one. It's the one. Now, if you're sitting here saying, yeah, Alexis, but I felt all of those things and I'm now married to this person and it's now amazing. You can start all these things that I spoke about with limerence. Of course, you're never going to, when you start dating your partner of now 10 years or whatever, of course you don't know them. And it's okay to fall hard for someone from the beginning. That's perfectly normal. The thing is that the difference between limerence and love, and one of the key factors to identify the difference is time, is longevity. Because as time goes on, you're going to know very quickly, am I editing myself to be a different version of myself so they like me more, or am I absolutely myself? Is this person showing all the different signs? Are we able to disagree on something and see how we both get to? And there's a big difference. Big difference. With limerence, it's very, 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 very often someone who you barely know because you've created an image of who you think they are in your mind. This image is so good. It is so perfect. Everything about them is great. Like say you've met like your Prince Charming or your whatever, whoever it is, this the perfect person. But you don't know about their really annoying habits. You don't know about like their hygiene standards. You don't know about what they think about, you know, how people should be treated or how they would treat an absolute stranger when you're not around, or you don't like, there's so many things you don't yet know about this person, but in your head, because they're so charming and fabulous, you think that it's kind of like the halo effect. If like, if you see one or two good traits in somebody, you then think that that trait is across every aspect of their life. That's why, you know, in movies from the past, a lot of the time, the good guys were really like aesthetically beautiful and the bad guys, they would try to like make them look like they were scary or whatever. It's because of this halo effect. You think, oh my God, they're hot. So they must be so lovely in every other area of their life. Not the case, but that's kind of what a lot of people do think, which is pretty crazy. A another way to identify limerence is if you were to really break down what your relationship is with this person, there'd be not much to it. If you were to break down, what does this person actually know about my life? What do I know about their deepest thoughts and their feelings and what keeps them up at night? You'd probably be like, I couldn't answer those questions. You know, I don't know. What do I know about their relationship with their parents? What do I know about, you know, the biggest fight that they ever had with their best friend or the time their dog died and how they dealt with that? I don't know shit. I don't know fucking any of that because we don't have a true connection. If you know all those things and you're still in a relationship, it's not limerence, okay? You're also more likely to accept red flags and ignore them. Because this person is so perfect in your eyes, you will make every excuse under the sun when the first red flag appears because you're like, there was a reason that happened, or, that's just a one-off, like it's fine, or, you know, you will be amazed at the excuses that you can create for yourself to be okay with things that you would normally find a turn-off, like, you know, moral issues or their opinion or how they spoke to you, or, you know, when they made like a comment that seemed like, wait, you're trying to control me. This is a kind of slightly controlling behavior, but I'm just going to turn a blind eye to it, that kind of thing. You're going to be so focused and fixated on the good things that you're literally willing to turn a blind eye to all the flaws and, you know, the deal-breaking flaws that are going on. The opposite is also true. When you aren't into somebody, but you're trying to like see if it's going to work and they're really into you, so you're giving them a chance, but you're like, oh, my heart's not in it, you're going to pick things about their behavior that's so mundane, but you're like, I hate that they did this and I hate that. It's like, no, you didn't. You're looking for excuses to say why this person isn't a good fit instead of just being open and honest with yourself and being like, we're just not a good fit. The person's lovely. I'm just not into it and it's fine. But you come up with all these icks in your mind to be like, this is a reason why I should push them away. This is another reason why it would never work. No. You know, it's the same in reverse, okay? So we will highlight, when someone seems like a good match, we'll dim down the bad traits and blow up the good traits. And when someone really likes you but you don't think it's a good match, you're going to blow up their bad traits and dim down their good traits. That's just human nature. It's what we do. Now, of course, because you're doing all of this, it's going to make you create this unreal version of this person in your head. This is a one-dimensional, one-sided representation of a person, and that's what makes it an illusion and not a real emotional response to a person. And therefore, it's not love, it's limerence. You're the limerent person with a limerent object, okay? Now, when you're experiencing limerence, it does not really feel too different to love in the early stages. So it is difficult to identify it from the get-go. Both can feel like a high. Both can give you this dopamine rush at the start. Both can feel like it is a deep love at the start. Both can feel like euphoria. But like I said, love is deeper. There's a connection and you are also your true self. And there is progression within the relationship as well. You're seeing progress. You're seeing growth. You're working together as a team towards common goals. That's another really big one. A big difference in a proper loving relationship is that you work together towards common goals, whether it be goals within the relationship or any goal, versus I'm obsessing over this person and they fucking don't even know who I am. They barely know me. I'm an acquaintance, that kind of thing. Now, another thing that I wanted to get into is this idea in films, like rom-coms and stuff, they make limerence seem so normal and seem that limerence is love. They give off this impression that these limerent behaviors and where you fall so heavily for someone and this person's the one and everything's perfect and there's no, you know, a lot of rom-coms are limerence. And you look at it and it's like, this is fucking limerence. And so many rom-coms, like you've got Great Gatsby, Sleepless in Seattle, You've Got Mail, Pretty Woman, a whole bunch of scenes in Love Actually, like Juliet and Mark where he's, you know, holding up the signs and then he kisses his best friend. Like Mark is the most toxic clown, if you guys have watched Love Actually, toxic clown I've ever met. He's his best friend. Anyway, whatever. Go watch the film. But I'm just like, this guy is a joke. He's ignoring this woman that he's obsessed with. He's got like, it's limerence that he's feeling. Doesn't even talk to her. So how does he know he's in love with her? Spends the whole wedding filming her face. You know, he's going behind his best friend's back doing all of this. Then behind his best friend's back, he does this whole the proclaimment of love to this woman he ignores. And then she fucking kisses him and it's romantic. I mean, I love Love Actually. It's one of my favorite films of all time. It's so good. But toxic is all I have to say about that scene. Also, While You Were Sleeping, great film from the 90s. All of these films I love and all of these films are limerence. Like, it is just, it's not it. It's not love. And in there's a paper actually that was written called The Emotional Politics of Limerence in Romantic Comedy Films. And the author of this paper is Wyatt Moss Wellington. If you're in the mood to read a paper on that, go check it out. And he states that rom-coms present these limerent feelings that encourage audiences to draw meaning from these emotions. So instead of feeling these feelings and be like, oh, it's just lust, that was a fun feeling, move on. People are like, there's meaning behind this. This is my true love. If I'm feeling this way, this is the one. This is the one. And I've seen it in rom-coms. My life is now a fairy tale. This is supposed to happen because it happened in Sleepless in Seattle, where I flew to the other side of the world because I heard this man's voice on a radio. I'm obsessed. So basically, rom-coms and a lot of like pop culture is trying to, the storylines are that limerence is like a rite of passage to falling in love. So then a lot of people, when they don't feel these crazy emotions, they're like, well, this is not the one. I'm not feeling it. I don't feel like, you know, I'm not feeling it. But sometimes the best, most successful relationships are kind of like the slow burn, really get to know each other, really feel comfortable in your own skin around this person. Before you know it, you're like, this person is the fucking love of my life. And I never had this insane roller coaster of emotions. That happens for a lot of people. And a lot of people will have like a type and they always chase this type and they go for this one person. And it's always this roller coaster, and they always end up marrying someone who's so far from that type because it was a different, more grounded feeling that they ended up feeling with this person. Now, putting aside this whole rom-com thing, because, you know, we're leaning off all of that, I thought I'd give my own anecdote for my, you know, limerence when I was in high school. There was an exchange student, Antoine, loved him so much. He was from France. It's probably where my love of her from France even started. Curly hair, gorgeous angel, would wear like a headband. Oh, limerence. Obsessed. Didn't know this guy from a bar of soap. I'm like, exchange student, tick. France, tick. Curls, tick. Headband, tick. Play soccer, tick, tick, tick. I loved him. He was in my sister's grade. He would talk to my sister because she was like really, like she was really into soccer and sports as well. So they got along. And my sister's like, look, Alexis, maybe you should find something in common. Maybe you should start playing hacky sack. And I'm like, I'm going to start playing hacky sack. And meanwhile, I was so obsessed with this guy. This would be stalking behavior. If I was doing this now, I would be so understanding if someone got like a restraining order against me because it's so fucked. I knew every class that he had, I knew that if I had English, he had science, or if I had this, it was just so weird. So I'd walk the long way in hopes that we would just like cross paths and maybe he'd notice me. And then one day I was trying to play hacky sack. I was practicing and practicing in the hope that he'd invite me to play hacky sack. How far-fetched is that? But lo and behold, he saw me holding the hacky sack and he invited me to play hacky sack. I was like, all my dreams have come true bar the tiny, tiny detail that I still haven't mastered how to juggle a hacky sack. But we were here and I'm like, this is now or never, Alexis. You've got to shine in this moment. So he starts playing. I was like, can't believe he's invited me. I'm so, again, so nervous. I'm acting like an idiot. I'm so clumsy. He's like kicking the hacky sack. It kicks it to me and I kick it straight back into his balls. So then the bell rang. Thank God, literally saved by the bell. That is like that statement was literally made for me, I think. And then I grabbed the hacky sack and I'm like, bye. And I ran away. And I never spoke to him again, apart from like graduation day or the end of the year where people sign each other's shirts. And I think he signed my shirt, I think. Or maybe that's just like something I've put in my head. But anyway, that is limerence to a crazy degree. And here I was like, I'm in love. I love him. I didn't know him. I did not know this man, this poor man, like knew nothing about him. To this day, know nothing about him. So just love that he made an appearance on my podcast. But that's limerence. And I've experienced that a couple of times, more so when I was younger and in my early 20s, where I just fixate and fall in love with someone that I actually didn't really know. So let's go over some key points. If we think limerence is love, then we've got to make sure that there's connection there and that we're able to grow with this person. Often limerence is not reciprocated, and often once it ends, it really takes a really long time to move forward from it because you think this person was so perfect and they just, you know, you felt this way, but they didn't feel that way back. And it's really, really hard to move from that. And connections that do feel this way are really hard to let go of because you think that you're letting go of a true love situation. That's like the illusion that we're playing in our head. Another thing is that the individual, the limerent object that we've had these feelings towards, will just not be able to live up to this crazy standard, this version that you have of them in your head. No one could live up to that version that you had because it's just this perfection. It's like this person that you've created in your head, and there's just like a vessel that you know as a human being as a representation of that person, okay? It's just something that's really difficult for you to move on when you have, you know, it's not like an interaction with someone. And going back to the rom-com thing, the issue is that almost every rom-com that's around limerence, calling it love, oh my God, the chase, oh, and now we're together. We don't fucking know each other. We don't know each other. But now we're together and it's true love. And then bang, the movie ends. Of course the movie ends. The movie ends because how the fuck is that going to unfold moving forward? The people don't know each other. The next step two of that is now we've actually got to get to know each other. And now the disagreements begin. Now the conflict begins. Is it actually going to work? That's not as exciting and romantic as this idea of like, oh my God, I just met you yesterday, but we're now getting married. It basically ends at the peak of the excitement, the peak of the thrill, and it leaves the audience to imagine that the rest of their life is going to be just as passionate as the peak of the end of that film. And the same goes for when you're feeling it in yourself. You think if it's as good right now, it means that the rest of our lives together would be this good. But that's not the case. That's why I think it's really great that people spend a few years dating, you know, somebody if they're like, oh, I need to get to know this person. Good. So you should get to know them. I think it's great that people can move in together now before they marry somebody. I think all these things are really, really good because you're like, I'm actually getting to know you. I want to see if our future could be as great as I think it's going to be at the start. And that's how you work it out. You learn about people. You get to know these people. Now let's go through the stages of limerence. The first one is infatuation. Okay. Absolutely infatuated with this person. You see them for the first time, you see them on the app, whatever. You're like, I'm done this person. This is amazing. Okay. So you're infatuated. Now there's this Gottman framework that you can look up, but it explains these different stages in limerence. And it explains stage two as crystallization. So this is where you try and strengthen the relationship at all cost. So you're going to avoid any kind of rejection. You're going to make yourself into the best version as far as they're concerned that you can be in their eyes so that they're, you know, more likely to keep hanging out with you or seeing you or whatever. So you're also going to make sure that you don't put yourself in any light that could turn them off, in which case you'll be editing so many things about yourself and trying to be like, oh, I can't say that. I can't do that. I can't show them that I do this weird hobby on the weekends. They're going to think I'm a freak. They're going to this, they're going to that. So I'm going to edit myself. And then there is step three, the breakdown. And this is where sometimes you lose interest and are extremely disappointed in this person that they ended up not being anything like this image that you had set out. Or what's probably way more common is that that person is not interested and does not reciprocate, and it feels like all the power has been taken away from you. You feel completely powerless, and therefore it feels extremely difficult to get over because you were convinced that it was the image of true love. Now, let's quickly break down some steps on what to do if you are dealing with these feelings. So the first thing you want to think about, it's always about you and not the other person. There is nothing that they can say that will help you get over this. So a lot of the time, people, and I get asked this a lot, I'll go on such a great date with someone and then they weren't interested. They kind of were like, oh no, or they just literally ghosted me after the date. We met on a dating app. And I get this so often. So if you're experiencing this, it happens all the time. It's so fine. Even if you were the only person experiencing it, it's still fine. But it's really common. And when this happens, a lot of people think, well, what do? I need to reach out. Like, I can't just let it go. I don't want to throw away the best date I've ever had in my life. I'm never going to have a date like this again. So now I need to like somehow like reach. How can I see this person? Maybe I'll cross paths with them. Maybe I can. This is all about you. There's no answer that this person could give you that would satisfy you. There's nothing other than them wanting to be with you. There's really nothing that you can do. And the reason why you're so caught up on this person, again, is because you've actually created an image of themselves in your head. The reason it was so perfect is because, yes, you had a good encounter, but then you added GST on top of that. And you're like, that's amazing, right? When normally you'd be like, wow, that was great. Let's do a second time and see how good it is. And if that person then doesn't want it, it's like, well, I obviously didn't read the room properly. It obviously was not that great if this person doesn't want a second date. Part of a date being successful is that both people like each other. There's a difference between a successful date versus I thought you were amazing, but you actually didn't like me back and I did not notice it at the time. But now that I know that you're not into me, it no longer makes for a successful date. I've experienced it too. I've gone on dates before when I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is so great. This is perfect. This is everything. And then I don't hear from them again. And I was like, okay, so clearly they didn't experience it the way that I did. Me chasing them down, not going to change their mind. You're not here to change someone's mind. You're here to find, well, firstly, you don't even need to find someone. It's up to you. But you're here to encourage good matches, and the matches that aren't good and strong, especially right at the start, you got to let them go. So when you're feeling these feelings of limerence, number one, always remind yourself, this is about me. It's not about that person. I've created this crazy image of them in their head. If I really knew them properly, I would have a much better rounded opinion of this person and our interaction with each other, but I actually don't know them. So a lot of my heartbreak is the loss of this dream that I held in my head, whether it was for 24 hours, it doesn't matter how short it is. We can fall very hard, very fast when we find someone that fits the brief to be our limerent object. Number two, self-awareness, and just be aware of yourself, mindfulness in these moments, okay? So when you're feeling like it's absolutely taking over, write things down. What's triggering this? Have I received a text? Have I not received a text at all? Is it a reply that I got that was a bit cold and now I'm feeling like all these feelings? Is it that they completely ghosted me? Is it like, when am I feeling at the, like when it's super heightened? Name it to tame it. You've got to start writing things down, noting it. If you don't want to write it down, just be aware and note it in your mind, being like, okay, this is what triggered this feeling right now. I walked past the cafe that we met and now my heart is racing. I feel really, okay, I'm noting it. I'm allowing the logical part of my mind to kind of talk to my emotional part of my mind. I'm just being aware. That helps so much. Just this awareness. Don't avoid. Don't be like, oh, I'm feeling anxious, but now I'm going to avoid. Because then you start to increase these intense emotions towards these things instead of like calming these intense emotions down. Okay. Number three, you need to limit checking behaviors. Don't go on their social media under no circumstance. Under no circumstance. Stop reading over messages between you and that person because you're going to start looking for clues. One of the main things when you're feeling limerence is looking for clues. People will go on three dates with somebody and then the person will tune out, tap out, ghost them, whatever. And then you'll be looking over text messages being like, but they said that we should go on a weekend away. So maybe they just need time because they clearly last week suggested a weekend away. So then, and then you go fucking nuts because you're like, this person said this. And if this person was the ideal version that I had created of them in my head, then of course we're going to go on this weekend away. And why would they? It's because you don't know them. And people talk shit. And people say shit that they don't mean. And people are fucked, okay? And unfortunately, you might have had an encounter with someone who was fucked, but you're not factoring that into the realm of possibility because them being fucked wouldn't fit into the image that you've created of them in your head. And I've been there, so I know. So limit the checking behavior. Stop reading over text messages. Stop. It's done. Okay. Number four, focus on doing more things for yourself. This is the time where you're like, all right, instead of me just sitting here and feeling a lot of pain and thinking it's never going to happen again, instead think, look, that was a great connection initially. I don't actually know this person, but it was a good connection, which means that, like, what are the chances that out of the 8 billion people that there are in this world, I met the one for me in the same city and we had this connection? No, that's not the case. There's a lot of people out there that you can have a good connection with, okay? A lot. So you look at that and you're like, all right, this is an example of a good connection. I can have more good connections. Instead of thinking that was the only one and then never again, you're thinking more of this, more of this, more of this. But in the meantime, I'm not going to sit here and experience a void. I'm going to do something with my time. I'm going to do something with the time that I'd be like festering in my mind about this person. I'm going to be now engaging in these other things that I really enjoy doing. I'm going to start picking up an old, you know, hobby or doing things for myself. Really lean into doing things for myself that I like. Number five, you're going to focus on other things that make you feel good about yourself, like past achievements, your other relationships that are going really well, friendships, all of that. Number six, find ways of validating yourself without seeking the approval of other people. Okay? Because approval, I think it's important that the really close people to you, of course, are validating you by being like, yes, I love you. Yes, I want to be in your life. We're friends, we're family, we're whatever. But you should also really be the primary source of validation. So that's where you're doing behaviors that are going to increase your self-esteem, where you look back at your life and be like, this is a really good decision. That was a great decision for myself. This is really, you know, what I did here for myself. And you're validating the things that you've done for yourself in the past. You're doing things that, you know, make a decision where you don't ask anyone's opinion on. It feels good. You know, like, I really want to go on this trip, but maybe I should ask my friend. Maybe it's not a good time for the year. Maybe book the trip, go alone. Okay. Things like that. Like, book, go and do this thing, purchase this thing, sign up for this course. Don't ask for people's opinion on a couple of things and notice your self-esteem start to improve. Okay. And then you start feeling better and better about yourself. And when you feel good about yourself, you feel a lot better about, you know, heartbreak or this limerent feeling that you're feeling. Number seven, just be aware of your attachment styles, because this might also play into it. And if you're interested, I have an episode on attachment theory. So just go into the podcast thing and search in the bar attachment theory and it will come up. And that will give you a bit of an insight into how you operate, because this sometimes it doesn't play a role. Because if you're like anxious attached, you might be falling a lot faster for this limerence kind of feeling than other people. Maybe. But you know, I deem myself to be extremely securely attached and I've fallen for it as well. So it doesn't necessarily work. Also, constantly remind yourself that you are in love with an image of someone and not that person, because you don't actually know them well enough. Okay. And this actually helps rationalize your feelings. It helps talk you down off that ledge of like anxiety and stress. You also want to, you know, when you look at an encounter that was so good, or a relationship that was so good, limerent or not, 50% at least of the goodness of that encounter, that relationship was you. Okay. So you brought so much to that table. And when that person walks out of your life, they haven't taken all the good that you've brought to the table. You still retain all that good that you bring to the table. So don't give the person all the credit. You can take some of that credit too. The reason we had such a good time is because of fucking me as well. If I was a fucking brick wall, we would not have had a good time. Okay, so I bring things to the table. I also was having a good time. I also am capable of doing all these good things. The same goes like when I look at past relationships, when I used to like struggle getting over them, sometimes I'd remind myself, wait a minute, a lot of those good times were due to me. So I still have it. I haven't lost that. I've still carried this and I can bring those good times to another relationship. And I will. Thank you very much. So remind yourself of those things and it makes you be like, I'm not completely powerless. I was in control of a bunch of those things. Yes, it's limerence, but that's okay. I can take the power back and I can use that energy that I had into another relationship where I, you know, take my time and get to know this person. And then the last thing is learn from this encounter with someone to learn what your like deepest desires and needs and wants are. Sometimes you can learn quite a bit from this experience. You know, sometimes you'd be like, all right, I made this person up in my head, but I really loved how social they were. I loved that they could talk to anyone. I loved that they were like, they would make friends with anyone that they met and I really liked. Okay, great. That's a trait that I really like. You know, what are actual traits in this person? You're like, yeah, I liked that. Because it's good to identify that. And it's good to be like, this is something I like. And A, I could look out for that in other people in the future. Or even better, B, how much of the stuff that I liked about that person can I do myself? If that person was super charismatic and I just wish, a lot of the time your wishes in a relationship are wishes for yourself. Sometimes we gravitate to really charismatic people either because we are charismatic or we wish we were charismatic. So sometimes it's like, maybe I'll just put myself out there and be a bit more social. Maybe I'll start saying yes to, or maybe I'll be the one inviting people. If you're someone that never invites people and you're like, wow, it's so cool that they just, I'm going to start doing that. Or they're so driven. I loved how driven they were. I'm going to start being more driven. There's a lot of things that you can learn. Every encounter serves as a lesson. So instead of looking at it, it's like, oh my God, it's just limerence. You know, I was delusional. Okay, yeah, a little bit delusional. We've all been there. But you can also be like, okay, delusion aside, what can I learn from this? What can I take from this? Make this useful. Like make this fucking person that's ghosted you useful in your life. What did I like about you? What traits can I bring on in my own life? And what didn't I like about it? And then it really like kind of helps you make that person human again and put them, you know, take them off the pedestal and be like, they're just a human just like I am, okay? They've got traits that I also could have, and they've got traits that a lot of people also have. Those are the 8 points, hopefully, or 9 points. So hopefully that helped. If you're feeling that you're going through limerence, even just understanding what limerence is helps a lot. I know when I first realized what it was like, oh, I actually felt relieved. I actually felt like, oh, it's actually like a thing that people go through. And, you know, it's true. I don't actually know this person. And I'm really more mourning an imagination than an actual person because I didn't really have that true connection that I thought could happen. Okay. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. As always, remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to your brain. Don't take shit from anyone, and especially don't take shit from yourself. Danke. Listener.